original language, and it is used quite frequently in the Greek New Testament. That particular word emphasizes to us, I think, the idea that not only does the Christian life involve individual responsibilities, but I think we emphasize those quite often, that to be a Christian, we have to make sure that our prayer life is what it ought to be, that our study of the Word of God needs to be what it should be, that our attendance to worship service needs to be what it should be, that our activities as we interact with other people needs to be what they should be, and therefore, as we grow as individual Christians, we need to be what we should be. But the idea throughout the New Testament seems to be also that in our relationship with one another, there are responsibilities that we have. And I'm afraid that sometimes we may not emphasize that to the extent that we should. And this morning, I'd like to emphasize that particular idea as we talk about it today. The idea in this particular verse, for example, as it discusses the idea of devotion to one another, of not simply an idea of tolerating one another, not simply an idea of being able to stand one another, not simply an idea of being able to be in the same building with one another, perhaps for an hour a week, 2 hours a week, 2 hours to 2 hours and a half in a week, but to be able to actually have a concern for one another, a devotion for one another, a love for one another that makes us be concerned about one another. I think of the devotion of my grandparents for one another, and I remember that that was a devotion that was meant that they were totally committed to one another. My mother's parents were so close to one another. My mother, my grandmother had grown up in Arkansas and had come as a teenager to Oklahoma, and had been in a family of some 11 children, had been one of only two girls. And as you can imagine, in the country family, she was not necessarily treated with great respect by her brothers. My grandfather treated her like a queen. And that devotion was shown in so many ways throughout her lifetime. And it manifested itself in him being concerned about her feelings in every way that I can imagine. If we're going to be devoted to one another, I think we need to know each other. And we've tried to show that by making some effort to be better familiar with one another in the bulletin, to encourage each other to get outside of our comfort zone in trying to make sure that we introduce ourselves to somebody that you don't know, be it a visitor or be it somebody that is in the congregation that you don't know as well as you might otherwise. To make sure that you lead your social life, try to extend that social life beyond the sphere of what would normally be your comfort zone. To try to bring that comfort zone even into your activities that would try to edify somebody and even evangelize. To concentrate on somebody that you want to bring to Christ this particular year. And I think as we try to concentrate on those particular ideas, we need to bring our Christianity beyond just what is within us to what is within us. Not just what is within me, but it's what is within me and you. And I think as we do that, we can more have the Spirit of Christ within us as we go into this year and hopefully within the next year as we repeat this particular theme again. this particular passage I want to look at, and a few other passages this morning, and some others tonight, to try to help us be able to look and see just a little bit how this word is used time again in the Scriptures to let us see this community responsibility that Christians have in so many ways. This idea of being devoted to one another. This idea of making sure that we show preference to one another in honor. Again, is not something that involves simple toleration. It certainly doesn't involve hatred or spite for one another. And I know there are congregations all over the country, and there have been times, even in this congregation, where there have been people who have had deep-seated resentments toward one another. That ought not to be. Because here we see a command given by an inspired man to a congregation, which he tells Christians their responsibility to one another is to make sure that they are devoted to one another, and that doesn't involve hatred. That doesn't involve resentment. That doesn't involve the idea of having deep-seated resentments toward one another. Here we see a man speaking from God saying that if you're going to be God's children, you're going to have to love His other children. It's a requirement. We're going to be God's children in this place. We're going to have to learn to be able to be devoted to His children in this place. Is that too much to ask? Imagine the Lord, and He dies on the cross. Let's transport ourselves back there, if we could, some 2,000 years. And He tells us that His death is going to be one that's going to free us from the bonds of sin. That's going to make it so that the sins that we carry are going to be completely taken away from us. That we are going to be free from that load, and that we are going to be people who are going to be innocent as the day that we were born. And that we are going to be able to be heirs and of Christ, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and be able to have a home in heaven reserved for us. But there's one thing I want you to do. I want you to be devoted to My people. I want you to give preference to one another in honor. Is that too much to ask? Let me tell you, it's never too much to ask in the abstract, is it? Brethren often find it too much to ask in the specific. We can love the world in the abstract. It comes down difficult to ask when it comes down to individual members. But that's what we have to do. He didn't say, "Now I want you to love them if they're just like you." He didn't say, "Love them if they have the same kind of habits that you do, and they have the same hobbies that you do, and love them and be devoted to them if they're not nuts." He says, "I want you to be devoted to them in brotherly love and give preference to one another in honor." That means if somebody's going to get their way and somebody's going to be given preference in terms of a situation, it's going to be them rather than you. After you, brother. After you, sister. You go first. if it's not something that compromises truth, let's go your way. I'm not going to fight with you. Not because you're worth it, but because the Lord's worth it. And I love the Lord. And if it kills me, I'm going to be devoted to you. You see, we have a responsibility, an obligation, a God-given trust to make sure that this thing that we call Christianity is not just about us. As Americans, it's so easy for us to think that it's just about me. But let me tell you, Christianity is not just about you. And it's not just about now. It is about Him and about what He wants. And that's why there is an inherent unselfishness that is required of us as His people as we look around and try to see what needs that we can meet in showing deference to one another and giving preference to one another. It all comes down to love. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter in verse 9, I want you to notice, again, we're not talking about something that is a nice prerogative that we might choose. We're talking about something that is expected of us as Christians. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 9, "Now, as to the love of the brethren, we have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." There again is that special word, allelon. Love one another. I don't need to talk to you about that, the Apostle Paul says. You yourselves were taught that by inspired men, by me. Love one another. Now notice, he doesn't say like one another. Now that would be nice. And we ought to try to do that too. But this is the kind of love like God has for one another. God has for us. That means that we look out for the best interests of our brothers and sisters in Christ, not because they always deserve it, but because He and His service always deserve it. And because that is always our duty. This is a love that goes beyond someone's worthiness for it. Do you remember God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, as we're told in John 3:16? Did He do that because He came to this world and He found such a group of such worthy people? In Romans 5 and verse 8, when it says God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that He found such a wonderful group of people who deserved Jesus. No. It's in spite of the fact of who we were that He loved us. It's the same kind of love that behooves us to love one another. And here we see it commanded of us that we look out for the best interests of one another. That we do right by other people in spite of the way they do us. that we look out for the best interests of our brethren, whether they do to us or not. That we are kind to them, whether they're kind to us or not. You see the challenge? When you agreed to be a Christian, you didn't read the fine print, did you? But that's what it says. That's what it means. In John the 13th chapter, again, Jesus, while still alive, emphasizes in chapter 13 of John, in verses 34 and 35, He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." Oh boy, do you see the standard that He sets? "That you also love one another. For by this all men will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." I think sometimes we think that if somebody comes in here and sees us praying like they prayed in the New Testament and partaking of the Lord's Supper like they partook of the Lord's Supper in the New Testament and preaching the gospel as they preached it in the New Testament and observing the pattern that they did in the New Testament, that people will recognize the New Testament church. And I believe there are people who will become Christians by observing those things. But you know, I believe what the Lord said here is an even greater draw than that. It takes long-term observation for people to notice that we are observing the New Testament pattern in what we do in our work and our worship. I think if people saw that we loved one another better, more obviously, that might be something that people saw more immediately, and it might be something that would draw people more quickly. If they came in here and they saw a group of people that loved each other and loved them, they might be able to leave here and say, you know, that's one thing I know about that group of people. They must be Christians because they love one another. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Jesus says it. They'll know you because you love one another. I'm afraid the opposite has been so in many cases. Because they've come into churches and they've seen groups of people that hated one another. And they've gone into little towns and they've seen the north side, south side, east side, west side churches of Christ in a town of 300 people, and they knew they hated each other. And they knew they can't be God's people. You know, we need to love each other and we need to let it show. I tell you, I think this congregation is pretty good at it. In terms of many, many things. I've heard comments about it from people who were visiting. In terms of the way that you helped each other when a move came along. I got emails lately about people who came in and helped each other with a move from outsiders. Or people who came and visited and said, boy, you people sure must love one another. You stay and stay and stay and visit with one another and act like you really like each other. You know, I think we could excel still more, though, don't you think? By casting that net even wider and making sure nobody gets left out. We want to be people that are known as Christians because we love each other. Because we're concerned about one another. Because nobody gets left out. We have no strays in this herd because we're concerned about one another. We care about each other's interest, best interest, and we love each other because we love the Lord and therefore we love the Lord's cause and we love the Lord's people. Do you see my point? People will notice. And people will be drawn to us or not by what they see. It's not just a nice prerogative that we could choose or not. It's a command from the King. What will we do, ladies and gentlemen? Will we be people who are devoted to one another in brotherly love? Will we show preference to one another in honor? Like you do when you're on your best behavior and you open the door for your wife and you say, after you, and you say, no, let's do it your way. And you say, no, I love you, after you. Will we be more verbal about our love? I think we can be. I think we need to be. And brethren, knowing you all, I think we will be. Let's make up our mind during this year that we are going to be a people who are more devoted and are willing to show more preference to one another in honor. Think about these things and let's determine that we're going to do more toward one another. Tonight, we'll talk about a few more things that have to do about the responsibilities that we have toward one another. But I want you to think about this as you go throughout your day and realize that this Christianity is something that while it is an individual responsibility, is the kind of situation in which none of us are going to make it alone. We are a community and we need the help that is provided by one another to be able to make it to heaven. Perhaps there are those in the audience who, because of the sin that's in your life, need to have that washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, all of us have come from a place that none of us wanted to be, trodden down by sin. In a place like that prodigal son that we've sung about today, who wound up being in a hog pen, dirty as you can imagine, but yet knowing only the fact that there was a forgiving Father waiting for us. Let me tell you, there's a forgiving Father waiting for any of you who are willing to come in faith, who are willing to show that faith by repentance, who are willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and who are willing to be baptized so that all of your sins can be washed away and you can become a child of God and you can become a part of that great company of believers who are willing to help you on the way to heaven. If you as a child of God have strayed away, we'd be glad to help you back on the right way. If you'll come and make things right with God's people, if you'll determine in your heart that you'll make things right with God, we know that we serve a God that's wanting what's best for us and not what's worst for us. But you have to make that determination. You can't stay in the hog pen. You got to get up and go to the Father. And you have to make sure that you'll take advantage of that amazing love that was shown for us on the cross of Calvary. Think about these things, and if we can help you in making things right with the Lord this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.